Tom Arts is going to be joining us here in just moments from the Lock and Smith Foundation. You still have an opportunity to get your share of $30,000 in free marketing services from those of us here at Summit. Of course, we've got the four different stations, KTTS, Power 96.5, The River, and KSGF. So along with Junior's Plumbing, Citizen Memorial Hospital, and Doe's Eat Place, $30,000 business bounce back. You just register. I mean, it's pretty simple stuff. And then the grand prize winner will get $15,000 in marketing services, second place $10,000, and then $5,000 for third place. And you can register for that at KSGF.com. Don Luzader's here with news.
You got it.
Got a big old weekend planned. It's going to be sunny. We were just talking about this with Don Carricker.
Get outside.
Yeah.
And enjoy the weather.
It's going to be very nice.
Very nice.
Swimming, pool weather, Lake of the Ozarks.
But no fun.
Lake of the Ozarks.
Remember, no fun.
That's right. Absolutely.
You cannot have fun.
No fun.
You're not allowed to have fun.
You see in Japan, they are opening up some of their amusement parks, but they are instructing riders on the roller coasters not to scream.
Really?
Because they don't want
droplets.
Droplets. So
nice. No screaming allowed. Well,
which could actually make it more intense.
Why don't they just turn the roller coaster into a Ferris wheel then?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Or make it go really slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of going upside down fast, go upside down slow.
Yeah. Or just ride the tram from the parking lot to the park over and over again.
The Springfield Greene County Health Department has announced six new cases of COVID-19 in the county. None of these cases, though, are connected with the exposure at the Great Clips at 1864 South Glenstone. Now, all of the new tests from that exposure so far have come back negative. I want to say that they've had 42 tests come back already. We have a full list of dates, times, and places for these new potential exposures from the latest cases at KSGF.com. The State Health Department dashboard shows COVID-19 cases are up almost 8%. Over the last 7 days in Missouri, there have been more than 12,600 confirmed cases. 707 people have died since this whole thing started in Missouri. New COVID-19 testing sites will be opening soon across Missouri as CVS Pharmacy says will be hosting free tests. Three locations will be in Springfield. Tests will be given out of the pharmacy drive-thru and will be self-administered. To be tested at one of the locations, you will have to sign up ahead of time at CVS.com. Missouri, as you know, is trying to do as much testing as it can with the governor's goal of 7,500 tests per day. That is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. Partly sunny, 75 for a high today. Clear tonight, 52. And then we're going to see that string of really nice weather. Saturday, sunny, a high of 76. Sunday, sunny, a high of 78. And then Monday, sunny, a high of 81. It's going to get up into the upper 80s as we make our way into next week. It is 61 and cloudy here at the KSGF studios of the Lock and Smith Foundation. Tom Arts joins us. How's your week been?
Good day.
Yeah, good day to you.
So far, so good, except I'm getting tired of rain.
Yeah, well, it looks like it's out of the way. Now we'll have that thick air, most likely. You know, it gets hot, everything steams up. Now, the governor, who three weeks ago or so, he was touring some facilities, businesses. I think it was a thrift store in Joplin. He wasn't wearing a mask. He was asked about it, and he really touted personal responsibility. And in the context of, protection from coronavirus, said, hey, these are personal responsibilities. It's not the governor's position. Now, he has just extended the government's dictate on these things until June 15th. Bit of a contradiction there, but something I've become accustomed to. Your thoughts?
Well, the other day I went to a large retailer here in town, which contains a pharmacy. And as I walked up to the door, there's a big sign on the front door that says it is a government mandate that anyone entering must wear a mask. So I thought, okay, because this isn't for me, I'll go in, I'll get my mask, and I'll do what I need to do. Well, so it took me like 20 minutes to tear my car apart to figure out where it is that I had my mask. And then I have it in my hand, I'm walking up to where the doors are going to open, and I happen to look inside, and there's four people walking around without a mask. Now, I already knew it wasn't a government mandate
right,
to begin with. So I thought, well, okay, if they're in there without a mask, obviously this government mandate or this store mandate isn't consistent with the signage on the door. So I kept my mask in my hand. I walked in. I went to the pharmacy, got what I needed to get, and skedaddled on out of there. But these places who will not man up and basically just say, look, this is our store policy, follow it or else, are really getting irritating.
Yeah. Let me tell you, it discourages customers from coming into those establishments. I know everyone's different, and this is the way I approach it, because I'm tired of dealing with it like a lot of people. And if there's a business that says, listen, you have to wear a mask in here, I just don't go. I'm not going to protest. I'm not going to get online and, you know, throw a huge fit about it or anything. As a business, if they want to do that, fine. But I'm done with it. And I know a lot of other people are as well. I've noticed more and more that people are less and less wearing masks and caring about other people. People are choosing to move on with their lives at this point. And I think they've recognized that, what's the point in isolating yourself from the world? I'm not going to get sick, but I'm living in a state of total suspended animation and isolation. And that's not really living at all. So it's counterproductive.
Well, there's another large retailer that has a sign on the door that if you're under the age of 16, that you can't come in. And you walk into the store and there's like 17 people walking around in there in a store that's well over 100,000 square feet. I mean, give me a break.
And it is all so disjointed. And again, this is part of the reason so many people are saying forget about it, because they don't even know what the rules are anymore. And some of that is because, frankly, the businesses don't even know. Things have been left so open oftentimes. And part of that confusion is fueled by counties like Greene County, who have said, well, we didn't want to be, you know, too dictatorial, so we made it easy by allowing people to sort of figure it out for themselves. Well, that just leads to confusion. People don't know what to do. So different people have different rules. And if anything, I do think that has expedited some businesses saying forget about it, because, you know, one, a lot of people aren't following the rules anyhow. I've been in a number of businesses that have on the floor the little markings that say, okay, go this way, and which that is just silly too. I mean, it's just so much of this is to make us feel better, I think. And I notice that people, they aren't even paying attention to them. I don't think they're even willfully defying some of these regulations, but they're not thinking about it, or they're not looking on the floor. And I believe a lot of businesses recognize this is going on, and almost for show, some of this is occurring. And I think, frankly, even from a government standpoint, for something like, well, because Parson was asked about, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but I got the impression when Parson was asked about extending all this stuff and you know, the social distancing and the mandates that people, you can, you know, be together, but you got to be 6 feet apart, that it's not even really going to be enforced. And they're acknowledging that, we'll just kind of hope that it all works out. There's a recognition here that people are done with this stuff.
I was in a store the other day, and I want to say I was in Southwest Missouri, and I don't remember which one it was. It may have been even Northwest Arkansas, that they didn't have the tape on the floor. They actually had these signs made where it said one way down aisle, single file. So I got to thinking, what happens if you're behind somebody going down that aisle, going one way the way you're supposed to, and this person decides they're going to read labels?
Oh, yeah, and it happens.
Do you turn on your blinker and do you pass?
Right. And sometimes, in all honesty, you will have people that are elderly, and they just do. They take a little longer. It's nothing that they can help. It just, as we age, we get slower sometimes. And I've been in that position before where I'm like, all right, I'll try to comply, and I'm standing there, and I'm like, do I go around them? Because I clearly violate the 6 foot bubble. I found here in the news leader and the story about the extension from Parson. And it says, it mentions Lake of the Ozarks. And it says Parsons reiterated his hands off approach Thursday when a Kansas City Star reporter asked about the impasse, saying, quote, it is what it is. He added that he doesn't plan to send state authorities to enforce the rules either. So, this is that to me, it's very frustrating. I don't like these rules, but I also don't like saying, well, we have rules in place, but if you don't follow them, eh, whatever, we're not necessarily going to do anything. Because then we are, as citizens, put in the position of kind of guessing which rules we're allowed to break and which ones we're not. And at any given moment, we could end up getting fined or tagged and like, well, you just happen to be one of the people that we decided we're going to hold accountable for violations while these other people we aren't. And so that guessing game that citizens are forced to be in is Kafka-esque, and I don't like it.
Well, if PD issues you a citation or issues you arrest you, aren't they then in violation of the same rules that they're telling you that you're in violation of?
Well, yeah. But
how do you put handcuffs on somebody from 6 feet away?
Well, you get those claw thingies that you get at that one store that doesn't let 16 or under in. Have you seen, you know, like...
okay, that's 3 feet. Where are you getting the other 3 feet?
Yeah.
You got to hand one to each person?
Yeah. Let's get a traffic update. We'll continue on here with Tom Arts of the Lock and Smith Foundation. I am Nick Reed. Tom Arts with us of the Lock and Smith Foundation. Yeah, go ahead. I know you have a list of things, of course, we want to get to here this morning.
Well, actually, some of the things that actually make this confusing is this phase one through phase four kind of reminds me of the color code that we had back when the 9/11.
Right.
We're in phase yellow. We're in phase orange.
Right.
What does all that mean?
And it did. It got to the point where people ignored it.
I've even gone to the governor's website to read it all, and it's like, okay, there's so much in this that's the same. Where is the actual difference between phase one and phase four? I know phase four is we're just going to be open and allowed to do anything we want, like the people at Lake of the Ozarks did on over the weekend. But
yeah, we get to be responsible for ourselves.
Yeah, I noticed there was I saw somebody post one of the, I think it was a video or maybe it was a sign that was actually in the newspaper. And up above on the rafters is this great big banner. It had to be 6 to 10 foot long, which said social distancing. Please stay 6 feet apart.
Well, and I love this. If we're going to juxtapose. You have, on one hand, particularly with the media, I mean, it is treated as total with a focus of hysteria and how irresponsible and the demonization of that business owner of all of the people that are there, how reckless they are there. I mean, people are calling for their heads, but then you have coverage of people that are burning down buildings in Minneapolis. And it's like, well, you know, these are just frustrated individuals that are trying to get So you go swimming and have a few drinks with friends and you are the greatest evil in existence, but you get together, you don't social distance as you rob a store for TVs, and you are just doing the only thing that you know what to do.
Yeah, I don't see any of those folks being called out for social distance.
Yeah, I know, right?
But
well, maybe, you know, they say that heat kills the virus, and since they're burning all those buildings down, maybe that's why it's okay for them to not social distance, because they're safer having all that heat around them.
Well, up until I watched some of that footage, I thought Burger King was the home of the flame grilled burger.
Yeah.
But
Minneapolis
then I watched that McDonald's. Yeah, I watched that McDonald's go up in smoke and went, aha, they're infringing upon Burger King's trademark.
You know, I think that well, I don't know. I mean, this could get talked day in and day out, but there used to be this idea, if you were to take a wide view, that the frustration many of these people who would riot had, or that, you know, they felt as if they were isolated and the rest of the world did not care about the situation that they were in. And that, you know, they were constantly the target. And so here you have a scenario where virtually with a universal voice, everyone's on the same page about this, what happened was not right, and that people need to be held accountable. But they're still acting as if people are saying otherwise, that the people, you know, and it's like, no, we're, hello, okay, stop committing crimes, stop making more victims. Everybody seems to kind of want the same thing here. People are pretty much on the same page that these, you know, people need to be held accountable. Now, of course, you are always going to find individuals on the internet, random people that are going to say things that aren't in line with that. But this isn't a Ferguson situation where you have a large portion of the population looking at the facts and saying, oh, wait a minute here. He didn't say hands up, don't shoot. He, you know, where you had varying beliefs or positions as to the facts of what happened. That's not what's going on here. Pretty much everyone is on the same page, and it may be to varying degrees, but on the same page that, yes, something not right went on here, and definitely people need to be held accountable. Yet they're acting like that's not what's happening. And I think they lose a lot of sympathy with some people for that.
I think what is occurring, and it's not a laughing matter, to be honest, the cops killed that man. I'm going to call it as it is. They killed him. But I liken it to the issue with the gentleman who carried the firearms into Walmart. Mm-hmm. You had Second Amendment people who were just up in arms that he didn't do it the right way. Well, now you've got people, because there are people who are entirely upset with the police department. Well, they're not showing it in the right way. Therefore, they're for the cops instead of for George Floyd. I mean, in watching that video, and I've watched a couple different videos, you can see at one point in time that George Floyd actually urinated himself. That was what that long stream of water was coming from the other side of that tire. At that point in time, he's lost his bodily functions.
Yeah.
So you've got four police officers, one specifically, who just has no compassion for anyone whatsoever and killed that man.
Well,
if there is not some sort of harsh judgment against those four, now I've heard people say, well, all he did was manslaughter. Well, that's one of those things the prosecutor is going to have to figure out because in our eyes, it's murder. However, according to Minnesota law, they did everything that they were supposed to do.
Yeah,
until the point they killed the man.
And incidentally, this is why I've heard people say, well, why on earth do you need to investigate something that's on tape? Well, because you do. I mean, when you go to court, and this is how the system works, even when it's very, very clear somebody has committed a crime, I mean, then they still have a day in court. And still, there must be a case presented. You don't just go, well, we all know that this person's guilty, so let's get this over with. You have to present a case. And in order to present a case, you have to have an investigation. But also part of that is exactly what charges. And you know, you do have federal, but then there's state. And to your point, different states have different standards, and different states have different allowances when it comes to what law enforcement is and is not supposed to do. And so there must be, yes, even when it is clear visually to most people something is wrong, there is still a case that has to be presented. That's how it works, and it should work that way. And so whenever people say, well, we don't need an investigation. Yes, there does need to be one. And, you know, again, also, so we know what this individual is. Is this murder in the first? Is this second degree? Is it manslaughter? That's why this sort of thing has to take place in terms of, you know, going through the system.
Part of the problem you have too is you've got a gentleman who supposedly was guilty of a crime that was committed. Either he was or he wasn't. He's not getting his due process.
Right.
The cops took that away from him.
Yeah.
So there is the essence of, and if anyone in that crowd would have decided to take it upon themselves to attack those cops to try to save that man's life.
Yeah.
You know, they don't get the opportunity to say, well, they were killing him.
And
because we have created, even here in Missouri, we have created classes of people based on what uniform they wear. And if you decide to take matters into your own hands as a citizen to save someone's life, you're going away for 15, 20 years because you assaulted a cop.
Well, and to further the point, most of the discussion that is being had here, discussions along these lines, or the discussions along you know, to what degree or legally speaking, what crime was committed here, first degree, second degree, or whatever. No, you don't have a discussion over whether or not the officer did everything right. And what I'm part of what I'm trying to get across here is that some of these people are acting as if that's what's happening. And I don't know that they don't think it. We have created this atmosphere here of such victimhood that there seems to be this unwillingness or inability to stop and go, oh, wait a minute. Everybody's kind of on our side here because they're acting like they're not. They're acting like, you know, the Colin Kaepernick sort of this I'm this lone voice and everyone is against me. No, that's not the case. Everyone is in pretty much unison here, sort of like after September 11th. While sure, you could find a voice or two that said we had it coming, for the most part, we were unified as a country. We may not have understood exactly what happened, but it was clear something was wrong, and that's what's going on here. There's a pretty unified voice that something went very wrong here, yet some are acting as if that unification hasn't occurred and that they are somehow trying to send a message to all of us so that we understand something went wrong. No, everyone gets it. No need to burn down your own city, which, of course, is odd as well. We've got Tom Martz with us. We'll continue on here in just a couple of moments. I don't know, did you hear the Amy Klobuchar component to this, Tom?
No, I have not.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that. Give you a little hint. Amy Klobuchar is out of the running for vice president in connection to all of this stuff going on in Minnesota. That plus more coming up in just moments. We've got the traffic now with Parker Padge, and I'm Nick Reed on Springfield's Talk 104.1. Spending more time at home, and as the weather gets nicer, more and more people have been utilizing their yards, their backyards. In springtime, I find is always encouraging people anyhow. You just want to get out and start planting things, and you're mowing the grass, and you think, you know what, this could be a step above. And it has become much easier for people to do a lot of DIY stuff. You know, you can get those kits and put together a bit of a pergola, do a home DIY, a fire pit. But if you really want not just a step above, but a custom-made experience for your outdoors, perfect for entertaining or for just having a peaceful oasis for yourself, Elite Outdoor Innovations. I mean, they can take your outside and make it as enjoyable and livable as your inside. I mean, you paid for that land. Why not? Whether it is an outdoor kitchen, outdoor fire pit, or outdoor fireplace, they can custom design it for you. And this isn't custom design as in what's your square footage and they will come, they will evaluate, they will find out what you're looking for, what you want to use the place for, and they will work with you in order to design your. And that's just, to me, as we have neighborhood after neighborhood being built and house after house that essentially just look the same, there's three or four variations, but there is no real distinct personality. What you have is just a format that is mass built. To have an area that was custom built just for you by artists, essentially, is an opportunity you have with Elite Outdoor Innovations, and you can find them online at eliteoutdoorinnovations.com. Don Luzader with news.
Well, good morning. So I got to tell you, they did finally release CNN correspondent Omar Jimenez and his crew. I knew you were wondering about they were actually going to sit in jail all day.
Right.
But see, so what happens is CNN President Jeff Zucker picks up the phone and calls the governor, Tim Walz, and says what happened.
Right.
Walz apologized, took full responsibility, and worked to get the news crew released. So all is well again.
Thank goodness that hostage
CNN
situation is over.
Yes, the hostage situation has come to an end. The Springfield Greene County Health Department announcing 6 new cases of COVID-19 in the county. None of the cases are connected with the exposure at the Great Clips on South Glenstone. All new tests from that exposure so far, and there have been 42 results back so far, they've been negative on customers of that store. We do have a full list of dates, times, and places for these latest potential exposures at KSGF.com. The health department promises a news conference today to address some of these new cases and anything that they might have in common. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. Partly sunny, 75 today, 52 tonight, 76 tomorrow, and 78 on Sunday. Sunshine all weekend long. 61 here at the KSGF studios. We've got Tom Arts with us of the Locke and Smith Foundation. So Amy Klobuchar, who has been, I'd say she definitely was considered on the short list for Vice President Joe Biden, as he runs for president, to be his vice presidential pick. Well, before she was a U.S. senator, among other things, she was a prosecutor and she was a Hennepin County attorney. And 8 years ago, when she was a prosecutor, prior to winning her Senate seat, she had passed on an opportunity to prosecute a police officer, well, several officers, in fact, who were accused of dubious conduct, according to a number of reports. The Washington Times has a story on it. One of those police officers that she passed on prosecuting was the officer who most recently was caught on tape with his leg across the throat or the neck of George Floyd. So, as you can imagine, from a political standpoint, certainly doesn't put Amy Klobuchar in a very good position, because easily people can say, well, if you had prosecuted him, then this death never would have occurred. So Amy Klobuchar probably is not in contention for that vice presidential pick any longer.
You know, you go back to what you were talking about before the bottom of the hour break. You know, part of the problem we have here is we've got a two-tiered justice system.
Yeah.
And I think you've got a lot of people who, like, I've been watching this show on Netflix called Innocence Files. And it's really interesting, all the documents and the things that they are able to finally pry out from underneath police departments with Freedom of Information Acts and all these different mechanisms by which they have the availability to show exactly where it is that the prosecutor hid some things that weren't supposed to be hidden. It should have been given to the public defender. You've got on the federal level, state level, local level, I don't care what level it is, we have a system of justice that cannot be counted on for anything. Yeah. To prescribe for proper justice. So, I mean, it's been shown time and time again, if you want to look at it in this application, that you can pretty much kill a black person. I'm getting rid of Ferguson. But in the case of Mr. Floyd, if those four cops don't serve any jail time, it's going to get worse and worse, because you've got a large segment of the population who's going to go, what the heck do we need to do in order to get justice? Because justice, right, at this point is not working for us. And that does not mean I condone the rioting, but I also do not condone the fact that cops get to kill people either.
Well, and I want to just go back and want to be specific about the Washington Times piece and how Amy Klobuchar passed on prosecuting this very officer for allegations of inappropriate behavior, and he was involved in another, like, shooting as well. I don't know anything about the case, and she may have been absolutely right to do that. I mean, it doesn't mean that the case she failed to push forth on was a similar case to this. So it is just knowing that she passed on it as a prosecutor is not in any way, shape, or form enough information to lay any sort of blame on her for what has happened subsequently. But, you know, here's the thing, and I've talked about this before. It's my biggest fear in life. And I'd say it's a phobia, because it's an irrational fear, because the odds that it will happen are very, very small, is getting falsely accused of something and being convicted of it. And I watch a lot of these crime shows and a lot of these, of course, many people who end up being convicted say that they're innocent. You know, everyone in jail is innocent. Except for a very extreme few. But, you do see some of these cases, and they are very, very clear-cut cases of individuals that get railroaded, whether it is, and I happen to believe there's more of that happens in the, quote, justice system, as opposed to people getting the raw end of the deal when it comes to law enforcement itself, though that does exist. But there are a couple of things that I think are, they are misperceptions. And one, it is that only people of certain skin colors suffer at the hand of this. That is just not true. In fact, I like I said, I watch these shows all the time. And very, very often white people go to jail for crimes they didn't commit as well because they get railroaded by prosecutors. What we don't have is a systemic culture in which universally prosecutors give white people a pass but think, oh no, we're going to frame this black person. I think that...
Well, that's true.
Yeah, and the officer thing too. What happens is, and I don't want this to sound like white people get screwed, but when it happens to white people, there's no coverage. There are no riots. There's no talk of injustice. There was, and I went back to look it up because I remember when it happened, following it, there was a story down in Dallas about a guy who, he had schizophrenia or something, and he called police. It was in the middle of the night. He was outside a porn store or something, and he was a white guy in his 20s, and he called police. He was freaking out. I think he was a high on drugs or something, and he called police because he was lost and scared, and he ended up dead, handcuffed, hogtied, and dead. And it took like 2 or 3 years for the local media, through freedom of information request and so forth, to get body cam footage. And it showed, frankly, a very similar situation to what happened a few days ago in Minneapolis. And that was this individual, they hawked, and they were, the guy was passed out face down and they were joking about it and everything. And it was very similar. Well, no one knew about it because, frankly, the racial component wasn't there, so the media didn't pay too much attention to it, at least on a national level. There weren't riots or anything. And I do believe there is a genuine perception amongst some in the African-American community that this only happens to black people, but that's because that's the only time the news really seems to cover it. And I don't know the ratio. I can't sit here. I know those statistics exist. When you say how many white people versus how many black people and the percentage, the actual, you know, percentage, because there are more white people than black people, and if it's disproportionate. But even when that's the case, you're like, well, okay, but you've got interaction. There's so many different factors in there, and you can get lost in the weeds. But my point is, I do believe that there is a genuine misperception because of a lack of interest or coverage when it happens to white people that leads people to think that this only happens to black people. And I hear it all the time, even people in media that say, you know, why is this only happen to black people? It doesn't only happen to black people. And it's in that failure to accurately reflect what goes on, unfortunately, feeds into a false perception that leads to people believing that the only resolution they have is to burn down buildings, when that isn't, you know, it's just, it's unfortunate.
Well, I think another application you have too, you know darn well, if you or I would have killed that man in that same manner, our butts would already be in jail.
White or black.
These cops have not even been arrested. And I hear all the excuses, and I say, well, they're trying to build a case. They're trying to do this. They're trying to do that. You know, if Joe Blow Redneck killed George Floyd in the same manner out on the street, when the cops got there, he'd have been put in cuffs, he'd have been hauled off, and he'd be thrown in jail. The least the Minneapolis Police Department could do is go arrest those four, as they would if it was anyone else who was not wearing a uniform. And that's the two-tiered system that people get upset with.
Yeah, I saw also from a even more pulled back perspective, someone said they should just use the Comey Hillary Clinton defense, that, you know, where Hillary committed crimes, but she said she didn't, or Comey said, well, we don't know that that's what she meant to do. Well, that defense should be used. That we don't know that that officer meant to kill him, and so we can't charge him with any crime. And that is a, you know, more of a political context, but still, it further instills in people's minds that there is a two-tiered system of justice. And I've long recognized that there is. I think that it has gotten worse, but it isn't strictly along racial lines. It is a who you know. It is an influence. It is a cultural thing. It's not specifically racial, though there is a Venn diagram of sorts. Oftentimes it's socioeconomical, and you have a disproportionate number, particularly of inner city individuals who are of the African-American race, that fill that socioeconomic condition. And so that by default leads them to oftentimes be more victimized in that two-tier justice system in the inner cities. But it isn't isolated to those individuals. Paris Hilton, you know, I remember back whenever she got, I don't even remember what it was for, but she was facing jail time and she basically walked in and ended up walking back out. And people were talking about how, you know, well, it's because she's white. No, it's not. It's because she's wealthy and influential and her parents had connections with people. I mean, you know, that's why. It isn't always a white black thing. Sometimes it is an influence thing. And you know, it's the same reason that you will see certain celebrities that are African Americans that can get away with things that some white person who isn't wealthy and rich can't get away with. It's a money and influence thing is oftentimes what it is. Anyway, the way that it's all panning out is not beneficial for anyone. And it's just, it's so unfortunate that instead of having a much greater degree of people coming together and saying, okay, we're all pretty much on the same page that something seems to have gone very wrong here. Let's find out. Let's make sure that justice is served. And instead, some people have just already, you know, that they're doing what they're doing. And they are, I don't want to say spoiling a moment in which we can all come together, but they are taking an opportunity in which we probably could move forward together and instead deciding, nope, we're going to steal TVs and burn down our neighbors' buildings. And it's very unfortunate because then that's what much of the focus becomes. And it's counter to their own purpose and their own benefit.
It completely changed the discussion away from where it should have been into something completely different. And that's pretty much, you know, that's going to be a travesty as well.
Yeah. We're going to take a break here. We've got Tom Martz, the Locke and Smith Foundation. More ahead. I am Nick Reed. This is Springfield's Talk 104.1. Tom Martz of the Locke and Smith Foundation with us. I know you wanted to talk about Trump Twitter and then also the libertarian presidential candidate.
Actually, I found something different.
Yeah.
I found an article that will make John Lilly happy.
Yeah.
Franklin County has decided not to re-up its PDMP.
Oh, well.
And for those people who are not aware, Franklin County is a really nice-looking, contiguous-looking county until it's gerrymandered. But it basically covers like Sullivan, Stanton, St. Clair, Villa Ridge, Gray Summit on I-44. And then it goes from it parallels the river between Highway 94 up in Missouri's wine country and Highway 100. So you've got New Haven, Washington, and then where 100 comes in and 50 comes into I-44, that whole entire area. I guess the largest city up there is probably Union and St. Clair. But Dave Hinson, who was term limited out of the House, as normal, decided he was not done with government yet. He still had to keep his fingers involved in it, so he became a Franklin County commissioner. And the prescription drug monitoring program basically got voted down 2-1 for them not to reapply to be part of the St. Louis County prescription drug monitoring program, which is used by 75 jurisdictions, which predominantly covers 85% of the state's population. But what I found interesting in this article is they talk about how before the PDMP was implemented, they had 8 deaths due to prescription drugs that were, quote unquote, overprescribed. The first year of the prescription drug monitoring program, that doubled.
Well, it would have tripled, Tom, had they not put it.
So out of, you know, so that's like maybe 3% of the population,
right,
out of the 85% that's covered has removed itself. So eventually I'm hoping that either the state decides to get rid of the St. Louis one, And you go, oh, what about local jurisdictions? Well, the federal government usurped and exceeded its authority when Claire and the gang, including all the Republicans who voted for this thing, decided to start funneling money to St. Louis to create one, which then all the counties in the state of Missouri decided to usurp the rights of the people and became part of it. So I just found it interesting that for all the, oh, what has it been now? Like a decade that we've been fighting this prescription drug monitoring program, that finally there was a small light at the end of the tunnel, and Franklin County has decided not to put themselves under that any longer.
Got a couple.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. Head in the right direction. Oh, you'll like. I saw there is a use tax that's going to be on that is on the ballot in Ozark, and there was a story that I want to say Color 10 did, and they talked to the I think it was the Ozark Chamber about it, and then they talked to an alderman about it, and the Ozark, I think it was again the Ozark Chamber. It was some division of the chamber. Was supporting the tax increase while the politician was against it. Now, how about that?
Well, I don't belong to the Chamber of Commerce specifically for that reason. I mean, it seems that they'll do anything that's more detrimental to my business than help me out as a business and pat themselves on the back on all the great things that they've done. And They've not benefited me. I don't think they've benefited too many places that I can think of that actually belong to that organization. But that's another one of those deals where people belong to it, and they pretty much verbatim take whatever it is that they say that they're doing at their word, and they continue to funnel their annual dues into it, thinking, well, it'll benefit me in the long run to be a chamber member.
Yeah, it was. I found this story here, and it was the Ozarks Chamber of Commerce has come out in favor, while Alderman Jason Schaefer said he plans to vote no on the issue for a number of reasons. And, of course, he talks about those reasons. But I thought, wow, what a world we live in when the chamber is, you know, encouraging more money taken out of the private sector and funneled to the government. And then you have an elected official here, which that is fantastic news, that say no. The private businesses, that we need to keep this money in the private sector. I thought that's kind of, I don't know, not something that you see every day. Tom Martz of the Lock and Smith Foundation, thank you, sir. I appreciate you being with us this morning.
You bet. Have a good day.
All right. Have a good weekend. Here is Parker with the latest traffic update. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.1. Cattle Baron's Ball is coming up. Sponsored by Prime Inc., August 29th, Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, dinner, drinks, live silent auctions, live entertainment, a lot of fun, good time, head by all. You can get more information at ksgf.com. News in 60 seconds in another hour. I'm Nick Reed.